Welcome to Opus Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Matthew Sleeth. He is the author of many books, but his latest book is called Hope Always, How to Be a Force for Life in a Culture of Suicide. And we just want to prevent this awful thing that so many families and people have been right here all across our country, right here in Kentucky, where the second leading cause of death, unfortunately, for the ages of 10 to 34 is the result of suicide. But Dr. Sleeth, you know, you were sharing some of your personal journey, the reasons why you wrote this book, but I want to talk about a couple things in your book that really spoke to me. One, you started off sharing about a tale of two different patients you had when you were an ER doctor. Can you tell our listeners about that experience?
Be glad to. The first was young man in his 30s that I met who was had a good job, had grown up in the town I was working in, had a family support system and everything there, had broken up with a girlfriend recently, and he made the biggest decision of his life, which was to put a gun to his head and pull the trigger, and he was brought to my emergency department, and it was real touch and go. I remember thinking that if I pushed this just a little bit one way, well, the organ transplant team would end up with him, and if I pushed a little bit the other way, you know, maybe he'd have a chance at life. And so I pushed towards life, and that's, you know, kind of the last I heard of him. He was transferred out and everything, but just really struck me, the tragedy of it. The next patient was a guy in the same town, about the same age, who came in by ambulance, but he was quadriplegic. And he had difficulty speaking to me. He had no use of his dominant hand and just a little bit of his non-dominant hand, and he couldn't walk. But he was so engaged with me, and he wanted me to desperately figure out what was wrong with him. He had a fever. And it turns out he had a urinary tract infection, but he was just really looking forward to spending time with his parents. He lived most of the time in a nursing home, but he wanted to be with his parents. So I was getting some labs and things on him, and the nurse came over and said, Matthew, do you remember that patient? And I was a little confused, and she said, that's the man who shot himself in the head. And his parents want to talk to you, and they're on the way in just to talk to you. And I thought, these people, by the way, I'm not a Christian at this point.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, these people are going to be mad at me that I've saved their son, but that he's in this greatly diminished state. And they came in and they literally fell on my neck. They were in tears. They thanked me. They said, you gave us our son back. And he got his faith back. And we're just so thankful to you. And that really shook my worldview at that time. I was seeing the result of faith, that somebody who many would not want to trade places with him now was happy to be alive, in love with life, and his parents, and they were just a great relationship, and it was the power of faith. And when you see it, even if you're not a Christian, and I wasn't at the time, you're still impressed with it, okay, because it's real. And so I use that as an example of, it's not whether or not we have health or money or that type of thing. It's a relationship with the Lord and others that I think is the key to wanting to live.
Well, also for people listening, I think you just hit on such a great point, Dr. Sleeth. You know, he was not a follower of Jesus at this point. He's an ER physician, yet he saw faith in action. And we know even here in the Bible Belt in Kentucky, about one out of three people attend a church on Sundays now. And yet, know it's your life, the way you handle situations. People are watching, aren't they?
They absolutely are. And, you know, I think about Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years, and yet when things turned bad, they all went, you know, flying for cover and everything. And Peter's like, I never knew the man. I never been to Galilee. I just, you know, and yet just a short while later, Peter was willing to you know, stand up in front of the authorities and say, I don't care if you kill me. I'm going to preach the gospel. Well, what was it that made that change? They saw somebody come back to life. And when we can, you know, when somebody is at that verge of committing suicide and they come back to life, that's a very, very powerful testimony. And the church needs to encourage that.
Well, one of the statements that you shared in your book was a story about the power of words for parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. Just the things that you said. One of the most important things parents can do is to tell their children that they are not an accident. And then you shared a great story about some words your 103-year-old aunt spoke to you.
She was a character. I realize now she had kind of like a spider web for little boys. She'd always have candy around her, and she had this little toy with a dog that would bark and everything if you pushed at it and everything. She was smart. She knew how to get us over there and talk with us and everything. And she just took me by the shoulders once, and she said, "Matthew, you are such a rascal that God has given you two angels to look after you." And she looked over my shoulder as if she could see him. And she said, "God has a plan for your life. And he wants you to figure out what that is." And I didn't hear that sort of thing from my parents. So I'm really fortunate that this woman reached in and told me what was true. And I think we need to begin to tell young people that God has a plan for their life, that they're not an accident. You know, a modernist worldview is that you're an accident and that nothing ultimately has any meaning. In comparison, the Christian worldview is that you're a plan of God and God has a plan for you. And they're very different worldviews. And so I was very, very fortunate to have that young woman do that. But, you know, we need to do that. Just write a little letter to a 4 or 5-year-old or something like that at their level and let them know that they're loved and that God has a plan and you can't wait to see how that unfolds, and they should be excited about it too.
Well, another reason I so resonate with that, my dad, like you, didn't become a follower of Jesus till later in life. He was almost 50. He was president of a $150 million company, so by the world's eyes, but had a heart attack, had triple bypass surgery, almost lost his life. His company got bought out, and usually top management's the first to go, so he surrendered his one and only life to Jesus, and God literally transformed him like you over the last 24 years of his life. He died in 2016. But one of the things he started saying to me, and I'm in my late 40s at the time, he would say these words when we'd get off the phone. He'd say, "Son, remember that you're blessed and that you're loved." And he was talking about, because I was a follower of Jesus, that I was blessed and I was loved by God. And I still think about that all the time. And, you know, the Bible talks about life and death are in the power of the tongue. So the words that our parents, our grandparents, not just for little kids, but even our adult children, they really matter, don't
they? They're apples of gold, those words of encouragement. And, you know, we live in a world where you can find discouragement so easily. There's endless dystopian offerings on Netflix, and not to single one out, but that's the one that comes to mind, and other things where you just get a negative message, and these positive messages that you're loved, that your life has meaning, that there's, and by the way, this is just the beginning. We are in the entryway of eternity here, and when you start looking at life through that lens, things change.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Dr. Matthew Sleeth about his new book, Hope Always. You know, one of the things I know that unfortunately leads a lot of people to consider ending their life by suicide is that they just kind of lose hope, and we live in a fallen world. And you shared in your book that, you know, the Bible confirms that it's not a matter of if we will experience grief and sorrow, it is when. Talk a little bit about that and how you saw the difference between Lee Barrett handling it and the other patient.
Yeah, we are going to experience bad times, and we are not alone in those bad times. If you open up the Bible to Psalm 88, it's a person saying, I'm depressed. It's been bad. Seems like it's been that way since I was born. And I don't know when it's going to end. Well, why is that? And those kinds of psalms in Scripture is to let us know that God knows where we are. Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, as Scripture says. And life is not all just your best life now. There's some lousy to get through, too. But you don't have to do it alone. You can do it with the Lord, and you can do it with other Christians. And we live in a time of hyper-individualism, and that has some, you know, attractive things to it. But ultimately, we're not just individuals. We were bought with a price. We're redeemed. And we're part of a community, a cloud of witnesses, saints going back thousands of years, that we're literally entering into that world when we're born again. And so, by the way, I want to get one thing. This is a, do not think that you can just pray your way out of depression. Mm-hmm. Depression's a serious illness. It's a life-threatening illness. And never stop medications that you've been put on without the prescriber's go ahead. I'm trained as a emergency room physician, sort of a family doc too, and we're not necessarily the most sophisticated doctors, but if it works, we're all for it, you know. And I think with depression, you have to bring everything to bear. You need to bring medicines if that's appropriate. You may need to change what you're watching on television, what you're reading, the kind of music you're listening to. You know, we are a product of all the stuff we put into our brains, and we got to fill it with encouraging things, edifying things, things that are holy, of good report, Philippians 4:8 type things. So serious thing, by the way, and if somebody is listening to this and they are suicidal right now, please reach out. 1-800-273-TALK. That's the National Suicide Hotline. It's a resource center, and they keep track of what is local in your area. Put that in your phone, not only for yourself, but if you're with somebody else who needs it. Being prepared is the right way to go if you're a scout or a Christian.
Well, I so appreciate you saying that, especially being a follower of Jesus and a medical, being a physician. I've shared before that for me, back in 2001, when I went through the flood, bankruptcy, and unexpected divorce, that I had suicidal thoughts. And people asked, well, why are you here today? And I said, well, you know, there were several things. Number one, my faith became real. I was a little angry at God, but I started reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and my faith became real. And Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, Lord, and I am helped. So my faith definitely helped, but my family had a wonderful family help me. And then I did some Christian counseling, and then I took an antidepressant for a season, exercise, and eating better. So it's kind of a combination of things. So I so appreciate what you said there. But unfortunately, we're out of time today. But great news, Dr. Sleeth's going to be back with us for another program. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, Hope Always, How to Be a Force for a Life in a Culture of Suicide. We'll see you tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Sleeth on Hope Is Here.
Do you have goals and ideas, but life always seems to get in the way? Do you need to hit a reset for this year? Hi, I'm Twyla Brown, and on May 22nd, I'll be in Lexington hosting a workshop called Cue the Confetti, Preparing to Celebrate Your Best Life. I'll help you define what matters most in your world so that you can create a life that points you towards your goals while protecting your priorities. In this workshop, you'll learn how to create a vision board and strategically plan your week, month, and year like a business. To find out more information, visit online at twylabrown.com. That's twylabrown.com. I can't wait to meet you.